This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to the Hope Centre, where real stories meet real conversations about mental health, growth and hope. I'm Anna, and we're here to share, connect and remind you that you're not alone. Let's dive in.
Kia ora and welcome to the Hope Centre podcast, a project put together by Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust with the help of ORFM and Anytime Fitness in Dunedin. If you have any topics that you'd like us to cover or are interested in being a guest on the podcast, please reach out to us on our Facebook page or email admin@lifematters.org.nz. Kia ora, I'm Anna.
And I'm Omri.
We're both senior peer support workers at Life Matters and we'll be your hosts for this conversation about hope, healing and lived experience.
What a day, what a dollar, what a time to be alive. Thank you so much for tuning in again, everybody. And thanks so much, Anna, for being with me again today.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, I've got no choice.
No choice. We're locked into this forever. So come aboard for the ride, team. But today we're talking to someone who we're very excited to talk to. They are someone who is out of this world. Some might know her as a Celestial Chaos. We at the Hope Centre know her as our beloved team leader, Amy. Welcome to the podcast, Woo-hoo. Amy.
Claps, claps, claps. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Anna. Hi, Omri. Thanks for inviting me and, I guess, more importantly, finally capturing me. Sometimes feel like a bit of a wild creature running around all the time. Yeah. And you locked me in for like a Halloween special. Exactly.
And unfortunately, you know, I feel like we've been trying to catch you for the best part of the year. Mm. Times don't just align for Halloween, but it aligns for us on this present day recording it. So,
all Hallows Eve.
Hallows Eve. That's a good one. Amy, I would love to introduce you to invite yourself to the listeners. No pressure.
Hi, listeners. My name is Amy, as you know. I am one of the team leaders at Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust. I've been there for a couple of years now, and I've really enjoyed getting to know the team, learning more about myself, supporting all the Tangata Whai Ora that are brave enough to come and see us, and having the experience of personal growth through sharing lived experience. And I'm excited to talk to you today about lots of weird things.
Weird. Yes. Not weird.
Exciting and interesting. Exciting. Intriguing. Mm. And potentially, spoiler warning, a little bit spooky. Oh,
cool.
But before we get into that, the guest from the episode before leads a question for the next guest. And we had Meg on last time. And she asked, and is asking of all of us, if we could travel in time to somewhere for one day, where would we go? And if we were to travel somewhere for one year, where would we go? Where would you go?
My default answer is back to the dinosaurs, but a day versus a year is probably a different experience. Mm. So it would depend where I landed and which dinosaurs may be around.
Mm. Yeah, you know, so it depends where the portal is.
The portal straight to a T-Rex's mouth, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass. Mm-hmm. But you know what? Actually, I'll spend a day. I'll do a day with the dinosaurs and I'll do a year in the 70s.
Ooh, anywhere in the world in particular?
Where the most chaos is. No. Where are you guys going?
Oh, I'm really struggling to think of somewhere that I would want to go for a year. My answer, you see, usually I ponder this, but I've really struggled with this question. And based off our music choice at the Hope Centre all day, which was One Direction, I would go back to Milan on June 28th, 2014, to the One Direction Where We Are tour. It was where they filmed the live concert documentary of One Direction, and I wasn't allowed to go see One Direction when they came to Christchurch, so I would make up for that. Hopefully they would all be there alive and well.
Too soon.
Too soon. I'm not sure where I'd go for a year, though. Where would you go?
Yeah. So I think for a year, it's hard, because whenever I've looked up, like, core historical events over a year, it's all war. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go there.
Before the people.
Yeah. Well, before the people, or when people were simpler. You know, times that we know bits about but don't really much about. So potentially some kind of ancient Greek or Byzantians or, something like that for a year, I think. Because I've got functioning toilets and running water. So that's my two main caveats. Mm-hmm. But for the day, I would go to May 28th, 2016, to Cincinnati Zoo and stop a three-year-old for getting in a gorilla exhibit. Rest in peace, Harambe.
He's really trying to rewrite history.
Yeah.
The flow-on impacts of your choices.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, you see, like, mine's, like, doesn't have any flow-on impacts. It's, like, great for me. Well, yours changes the course of time as we know
it. The course of history. No joke, of history. Who knows how the world would change if we still had Harambe?
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, what happens if you dig up the T-Rex fossil and you find a human skeleton being probably me? And then it becomes, when did humanity start? Why are there human bones inside this T-Rex?
Would there be a paradox, or would you still live up to the point that you travelled back in time?
I'd have to go back to my sci-fi books and examine a whole short story series on time travel, which I do have.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating.
Lucky.
Yeah, lucky, lucky, lucky. Well, now we're getting a bit technical off topic, but no, fantastic, cool. Well, today we're having a very interesting on-brand conversation for the what did you call it? Halloweeve?
All Hallows Eve.
Hallows Eve. Today we're going to be chatting about cats, covens, and crystals, the three C's.
Ooh.
Woohoo.
Love alliteration. Mm.
Yes, exactly. So we've got some questions that we're kind of going to ponder today. I feel like some really interesting answers and conversations can come to those from those questions, and we'll kind of just see how we go. Sounds good?
I'm up for it.
Perfect.
Sweet. My first question for you, Amy, is can you share a bit about how you first connected with spiritual practices, and what kind of impact have these practices had on your life or your mental health journey over time?
In all honesty, I go back to my original times of crystals, and once upon a time in 1990, little old Amy was born in South Africa. Mm. And after coming to New Zealand, my grandmother used to send, how would I explain them, but like packages of crystals, and they would be like individual crystals. They were for my brother.
No, they weren't.
And for a long time they were his. Until we got to the point of having pocket money and learning how to make deals.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think back, and I'd have to ask my brother for the exact details, but I'm going to go with maybe like 10-year-old me managed to hustle him for all of his crystals because he wasn't as invested in them as I was. Mm-hmm. And originally they were like a geology pack, so it would come with, you know, this is the mineral, this is the bit about it. And I was like, yeah, but what does it mean? What does it mean? And so I got into quite a lot of crystal study, and that probably started a much longer journey in terms of how do I connect with different crystals? What do they bring to me? You know, what are these pieces of the earth restoring in me? Mm. There were probably the multiple truths journey of, you know, if I think about spirituality, I was raised Christian, but it's not a faith that I still associate with. There's definitely parts of it that I've drawn on. I did convert to paganism when I was about 12. So my little 12-year-old self used to go down to the local library and get out a whole bunch of different books on witchcraft, on different languages. I think by 13 I could write in Theban and Runic.
Nice.
I don't know if I could today. I just remember going to like Spookers in Auckland when I was maybe 16 or something, and they'd put a whole bunch of runes around to make it look creepy. And I was going, that doesn't make any sense. You don't even have any words here. You haven't even used the language right. What are you doing? And then someone was throwing a potato.
Oh,
I was like, why is there a potato? I don't know.
I feel like that would just hurt.
I digress. How does it influence my life? Was that part of the question?
Yeah. Oh. Your life or your mental health journey?
Oh, gosh. I mean, even recently, couple of weeks ago was having a bit of a a rough day and some things came up and how do I put this? I guess I felt like a little bit of my soul had a chip out of it and I didn't quite know how to restore it. And often if I get into that place of I feel slightly empty inside and I need comfort, I go to the crystal shop. So I did. So
luckily, we've got a couple of them now.
We do. And they're both lovely. So I'll probably mispronounce it. Hecti?
No, I'm sure, sorry. Blank.
It's the newer one. There's a lovely lady there called Gio who works there who is super helpful with your crystal needs.
Shout out, Gio.
The rock shop's also great.
Yeah.
But that day, what I really needed was a piece of red jasper. So jasper, especially red jasper, is associated with nurturing, or it is known as the stone of nurture. And as soon as I entered the shop, I saw a piece on a necklace and I was like, you are what I need right now. And leaving the shop wearing that, I felt instantly like that little chip of my soul wasn't there anymore. So a lot of it I do put down to belief science is what I would call it, which is really I believe that there is an energy in this crystal that has a healing connection with the energies in me, and my belief is strong enough that it gives me that sense. I mean, we're all peer supporters here, and we often talk about the reality of multiple truths. And I think that's probably an accurate way to describe my whole view on spirituality. You know, part of me thinks that there are signs from the universe and all that jazz. And then the other part of me is like, oh, it's all just introspection that asks you a question. Does this relate to me? And then you have to answer. So you have to reflect. You have to think about what's going on inside of you.
Yeah.
And that promotes a lot more... I guess lines of thought and possibilities.
I'm curious as well, because some days when the questioning comes back on ourselves, we have to introspect. That is scary. It can be quite terrifying sometimes. And I'm wondering if there any, whether it's crystals or other spiritual practices you have that help you navigate those times when it's harder to look in, to really persevere and push through and keep yourself safe with looking into yourself as well.
It's a good question. The first thing that comes to my mind actually is swimming at the saltwater pool in St. Clair. I did find during a time that I wasn't in a place to go into those deep places, what I really needed was cleansing. And in my early witchcraft days, salt was always a really huge part of any kind of ritual that we were doing. And the idea is that salt is a very cleansing element. And so even if you were... like it's something I still do, casting a circle. You know, you would generally have salt around the circle as that creates this protective barrier. And so at the time, what I was needing was to have my whole body covered in salt. And by going and swimming and having the active movement, I felt that rather than going back into the past, it was more about being present in this moment and being able to cleanse the pain that I was holding so that I could go into my day and not carry that with me.
Takes a lot of self-awareness.
Yeah, my gosh, that's kind of, I'm just listening and not thinking. I'm like, yeah, gosh, you're right. Like it takes a lot of self-awareness. And I think that's something over talking to a lot of people within the peer support space, but also a lot of the people within the podcast, maybe that's something that's good for me to work on, you know, because I think that's really beautiful is to be in tune with yourself, you know, work out is it, you know, being introspective and looking in, or is it I need to do something with my body, or is it I need to cleanse? Like there's, yeah, gosh, it's very interesting.
I have a 35 years of practice.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But no, jokes aside. Yeah, I do strongly encourage introspection in all ways. I'm someone who owns many a divination deck. I've already bought maybe one of them, so I just have that vibe and the gifts over years.
Amy needs crystals. Amy needs decks.
Yeah, it's like, here's another oracle deck. I'm like, cool.
Are they all different?
They are, yeah. Unfortunately, I've got a few friends with other decks as well, so sometimes we get together and we're like, all right, it's card time. And do readings for each other and have a bit of a witch night that I kind of like because... It's really wonderful to do alone, but at the same time, it is so nice to have somebody to bounce back off, and especially if you know them well, and if you know what their like symbols are or what they resonate with. We will often have different animals that we connect with, and that might be a sign of, you know, I'm really resonating with this particular animal, and then we'll think about, well, what is it about the qualities of those animals that I'm resonating with? How can I enhance that practice? Or if it's something that's quite overwhelming, or how can I maybe put that to the side, or start to pick it apart to understand how it all came together in the first place?
Mm.
If that makes any sense.
Total sense. And while we're talking about animals, I know in the last year you have become a cat mum.
I am.
You've got two beautiful little baby boys.
I do.
And yeah, with that connection to animals, I know how much love and time and effort you have put into those boys. How has becoming a mum and, again, the nurture that you put in with that they were strays and you brought them in and have given them a home and a life, how becoming a cat mother has changed your view on how you can attend to your well-being?
Oh, Omri, it's so much more than that, and you both know it. I did not think that I would be the cat lady. I mean, I always saw myself as, you know, being the witch with the animals. I just didn't think it was going to go this far.
Mm.
Once upon a time, early last year, I was living in a place of a giant cat colony and experiencing my second round of COVID. And while I was isolating, I was watching the 12 million feral cats living their best lives. I don't know. Mm. Yeah, it was a bit hit and miss. I learned a lot about the social dynamics of the colony because I had a lot of time to just stare at them.
Amy Attenborough.
Basically. And it was a bit of a, what do you call it, the cat distribution system?
Yes.
Mm. Where tiny little cute tabby just rocked up in my kitchen. I was like, what's this little kitten doing here? I know where you're from because I've seen your mum. Mm. I saw your siblings that aren't around anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, bless.
I know, my cute little Pounce.
Yeah.
And he pounced around all the time. And so I was like, I'm going to call you Pounce. And I should have known from the moment I gave him a name that it was probably all going to be your mind.
It was game over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every morning I would open my bedroom window and he would just be on like the chair outside looking up at me going, meow. I'm like, okay, all right. After about 4 months, Mum went away. There was also another cat in the hood, formerly called Fluffbutt, now King Oliver Fluffbutt, because I am in a partnership, and my girlfriend, when we moved into our rental together a year ago, was like, so can we rename Fluffbutt? Yeah. I mean, I don't know what my facial expression was, but it was definitely like, I don't know how this is going to go.
Pure betrayal.
Yeah, a little bit. But that's okay. Oliver and Pounce are both beautiful. And in terms of the impact of my life, I think I've never known presence like that. There was a big difference between, you know, coming home from work and kind of decompress my day and overthinking everything to, oh, there's a couple of cute little kittens.
Mm.
Oh, okay, I guess I will play with you. Oh, what else can I create for you? Oh, I can do something with this box. And then they turned into being bush cats to my babies. Mm. And I still remember the day that I was driving to the rental with them both in the back of my car and going, I've never known love like this.
Mm.
It's just different. And I still love them to pieces. One is very affectionate to me. Still a bit of a feral for others. I would say 90% domesticated with me, 60% with others. Mm. And then Oliver's like stuck at 50%.
Yeah, that's okay.
It is
okay. Give the king his space.
Yeah.
No. Did you grow up with pets?
I did. Mm-hmm. So we had Rottweilers back in South Africa and cats throughout most of life. But I wasn't as attached to them.
Mm.
I hope my mum's not listening. And I don't know. I mean, I have a cat allergy, so that's probably part of it.
Yeah.
But the reality of adopting feral cats is it's a very, very gradual exposure.
Yeah.
And I mean, Pounce is probably coming up, be like 2 years in January.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not allergic to them anymore when I pick them up.
So nice.
It's possible. So for all of those people out there watching those cat colonies going, oh, I really like that one and it's really cute, but I don't think I can and I couldn't. And do it. Just take it.
I mean, you're right. I didn't even think about that. The gradual exposure because of how feral versus how domestic they are and how that changes. Yeah. Something I didn't think about. But I know what you mean. Like, I've grown up with cats my whole life. Like, my oldest cat, my first cat my parents got the year before I was born, and it died when it was 21.
Good things.
Yeah, exactly. Go Harry. Original yeah. Harry. Yeah, weird coincidence. But
was this Harry the Second, who's your baby now?
Yes, and Harry the Second came with his name. So it's just like, you know, maybe it was meant to be.
Makes it strong.
Yeah, but there's a... I've grown up with cats my whole life. I've loved every single cat that I have had, but it does feel different when it's your own and it's something you've connected with. And I think after also going through a lot physically, mentally, spiritually, connecting with an animal in that way is like, yeah, unbeatable.
Do you feel like sometimes as well, you know, looking at the cat colony or finding a cat and it comes with the name, you know, you see a cat and you go, gotta be you.
I mean, that's kind of what happened with Oliver.
Yeah.
Oliver is part Siamese and this beautiful, beautiful cat. I'm like, who would have thought a feral could look like you? Mm. And look, Cat Rescue, amazing. Best people out there. Love everything you do.
Shout out Cat
Rescue.
Super, yeah.
super helpful because they were trapping in the area, understandably. It was a massive colony. And flood day last year, I think it was maybe, what, 5 days after, I was like, at work in the Hope Centre, being quite livid about where my cat was.
Yeah.
And after 5 days, I reached out to Cat Rescue with a big dramatic story of, so I can't have cats, this is what it's like, but I really love these two little blah, blah, blah. And they're like, this is your cat? I was like, oh my God, it is.
You found him.
Yes. He looked so scared. And I just remember seeing that photo and being like, no, that's it. You're mine. I'm taking you. Yeah. And Pounce and Oliver are a bonded pair. So I can't believe I missed that point. But when you see two little feral cats bond in the wild.
Oh my gosh.
And now they sleep together in my living room.
There's a lot of history.
There is.
Yeah.
Oh, very cute.
You're going to have to change the subject. Otherwise, you know I'm just going to
keep. It's going to be the cat and cat episode. The cat cast. But yeah, so it sounds like lots of impacts and lots of influences, which has opened your worldview about well-being. And I'm wondering, how do you feel like spiritual practices have not only supported your mental health over time, but also adapted and changed?
So much change. I think I might go back to how I understand, or my understanding of the word spirituality itself. So I am that kid with 12 million different books, and I've read lots of self-help and all the different perspectives and different religions. And what I've really drawn from them is that spirituality means to make sacred. And what I take from that is I have a lot more power in this. You know, it's not about what's happening to me from an external force that's controlling my life or guiding my life, depending what. Which way you want to look at it. It's more about how do I interact with the external world? How do I interact with my internal environment? And if I think about my mind as a garden, how am I making sure that I'm attending to that garden? And if I'm looking at it and, you know, there's grass everywhere, the lawn's overgrown, there's, you know, things are flying and it looks like a total tip, I'm like, okay, this does not look like a sacred garden right now. So how am I going to use my spiritual practice to attend to that? That might be a process of journaling. I've journaled since I was 10 years old. It is ridiculous and hilarious to look back at my 10-year-old journals. Spelling's atrocious. Still not great, but ooh.
Yeah. I think I'd find that so much fun.
Yeah. It's also interesting, though, because, you know, I said, yeah, a lot of changes, but actually when I reflect back on a lot of what I was looking for when I was younger and what I was thinking about, a lot of it was still the same things that I care about today. And really what I noticed in myself as a young person and even now is that I'm a knowledge seeker. And so I do associate as being a witch. As the reality is, you know, a witch is, originally was more of a wise woman, but it doesn't have to be so gendered. It's a wise person, a person that holds knowledge, and a person that wants to use that knowledge to have an impact. You know, and they got a really bad rep for too long, for too much. But, you know, I think more about how do I use all the knowledge I've gathered in life to apply it to myself and to share with others. And in that space of sharing is how we learn and we grow. And it's tough with spirituality because sometimes, you know, I do see a distinction between organized religion and spiritual practice. But you can have spiritual practice within religion as well. So Buddhism is something I've been drawn to across most of my life. was actually a really good podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Shout out.
The Secular Buddhism podcast. I'm actually just here to like plug everything else. I don't know.
Yeah. Cat Rescue, Hitties, podcast, yeah. All of them.
They're very calming kind of 30-minute sound bites, and it starts with, you know, what Nora Rashida, the podcaster, is that what I call them? Mm. Are you podcasters?
I guess we are.
Yeah. I suppose so.
He always says, you know, use what you learn from this not to be a Buddhist, but to be a better whatever you already are.
Wow.
And that's something that resonated with me when I first listened to it, and it still does today, because I think that's how I view spirituality as a whole. It's not to become a XYZ. Mm-hmm. It's to become a better whatever you already are.
Mm.
Oh, gosh.
So it's really using everything that you're learning to understand more about yourself, you know, right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy heck.
Oh, I'm feeling very, you know, I feel like with a lot of episodes we leave with a lot to ponder about. I feel like I've got an extra amount of questions and things that I need to ask myself and focus on. But I like that, you know, that distinction is, I think when we think about spirituality, it is like, oh, maybe something to do with religion or something to do with, you know, doing crystals and tarot. And that may not be like everybody's thing, right? And I think it reminds me of a conversation we had yesterday. What spirituality is and encompasses is exactly that, like filling, or, you know, what's going to make my garden grow and what's going to make those flowers bloom. And it may not be those things, but it may be like exercise, or it may be like reading a book or being crafty. And
building a sandcastle on the beach.
Building a sandcastle on the beach, exactly. It doesn't have to be as rigid as what it may appear, which I think is beautiful and something that people should note. Cool. Well, we've got a good few more questions that we'd love to ask you, Amy, but before we do so, we might just jump to an ad break from our sponsor.
At Anytime Fitness Dunedin, our mission is to raise the self-esteem of the world. A healthy lifestyle doesn't start and stop at the gym. It starts with a plan, which is why we offer solutions that incorporate fitness, nutrition, well-being, and recovery. With three local clubs to choose from, with 24/7 access, we're certain you'll find your fit. Contact us today to get started. Call 03 455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
Thank you, Anytime Fitness, for your continued sponsorship. We really appreciate the mahi that you do.
Yeah.
We are still here with Amy, our team leader, talking about anything cats and covens and crystals, and really enjoying the chat that we are having.
Cool. As I said, I feel like it's been a very ponderous conversation so far, and no doubt I'm going to go home with another million things to think about tonight. Starting back off, I'm wondering how you draw on your connection with your spirituality to fill your own cup when helping others in crisis. Oh, there we go.
That's okay. big questions to ponder, but I think when I think about crisis and, you know, at Life Matters Suicide Prevention Trust, we're often thinking about the reality of suicidal crisis, which is something that many of us experience. Mm-hmm. It's something that I experienced for many, many years, and I'm very proud and happy to say that it's not something that's part of my daily experience anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Hope! Possible!
Yeah.
When it comes to crisis, and especially supporting people through crisis sessions, my biggest motto in my head is that crisis creates change. And sometimes when we are at our most broken, that is when we're at our most powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a time to reevaluate what is sacred to us, what is meaningful. I mean, I think about when we are engaging in activities such as safety planning, not necessarily in a tick box way, much more of an organic conversation of let's be real about what does and doesn't work for you, what is and isn't possible in that moment. And some of the questions that will come up is things like, okay, well, what is something that has in the past been worth living for, or what in the future could be worth living for, even if the present feels like quite a dark, lonely place?
Mm.
Hey, I'm sitting with you here in this room in this moment, and we're not alone. So let's start to ponder what has had meaning and impact in your life before, because it is possible to find that again.
Mm.
it really depends on the person as well, because through building peer relationships, we get to understand and learn more about what does and doesn't work and what is and isn't meaningful. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I've supported somebody for quite a few months and they're in a place of crisis, we might go back in time to when we first met and talk about the things that were bringing them joy or weren't.
Yeah. I think that's something I really enjoy about intentional peer support and peer support in general is it's very much supporting people who have gone through lots of different stages. And, you know, it's about the you and the I, it's you and I, and how we can reflect and visit back, and how there are changes. Even crisis can look different and the different things that might impact that.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, in my own times of crisis, again, crystals have been quite a practice. I think about Tiger's Eye in particular. It's a Southern African stone. It's associated with protection and known as a talisman. When I was younger and experiencing a lot of mental distress, I used to put pieces of Tiger's Eye all over the windowsills, so it made me feel like I had a place of protection. And you know, in sessions, I do often wear a Tiger's Eye bracelet, and you probably see me use it as a bit of a fidget toy as well. So sometimes when I am sitting in that crisis space and I am slowly turning over those beads in my hand of Tiger's Eye, I am channeling thoughts of protection and that safety, because really, to me, being present in a crisis session is about bringing safety and containment into that space. And it comes from a place of finding that in yourself. And so the spiritual practices that we get involved in, what we make sacred, what we decide to continually practice, becomes part of that energy that we bring into that space.
I'm curious, when you talk about safety, are you talking specifically safety for the guest and safety from suicide, or kind of also safety for yourself and the relationship and kind of the space that you're in?
All of the above.
All of the above.
But yeah, no, it's weird. If I think about, oh gosh, sometimes I'm like those weird moments of the universe that I'm like, oh, are you a sign or is this just life?
Yeah.
And it was probably like a year ago. I had I want to say it's a hoodie, but it had no hood. So it wasn't really a hoodie. It was a jumper. And I'd worn it for years and years. I'm a very sensitive soul. Like, I am princess of the pea. So if you put a little pea under my mattress, I will feel it. And there was a safety pin on the back of the label. And I'm like, how on earth have I slept with this for like years and not noticed a little gold safety pin just being there? And at the time, I was having some very deep, ponderous thoughts. I'm a ponderous person. And when I saw the safety pin, it felt like a symbol. And so I was like, I'm going to Google it, like every good person does. And when I Googled the symbol of a safety pin, it represents I am a safe person. And I remember picking that up and going, this resonates with my purpose.
Yeah.
This resonates with what I'm trying to achieve with my life, which is an internal sense of safety to then bring out in other spaces. And hey, you know, for listeners and for us in the room as well, I get it. Safety doesn't always come with a positive association, because, you know, if I think about using different services, sometimes it's felt like a box. And if I don't tick these things, then action's going to be taken that I don't want.
Yeah.
That's not the type of safety I'm talking about. I'm talking about the type of safety that says I have an area of space around me that I feel comfortable in. I feel in my mind like there is a place I can go to that feels grounded. I feel like there is a person, an animal, a plant, a tree, I'm part tree by the way, that if I spend some time with, you know, we will find that sense of safety again.
I think it speaks to, again, something I do admire about you a lot, Amy, is your intention for connection, and in very much of, you know, it's not a one size fits all. It's not a, hey, yeah, you know, you've got tools up your sleeve, but the biggest tool is knowing people. And if we know the person, then we can know how to talk to person, or talk to the person, as individuals, rather than a sweeping tool to use.
Cool. I guess kind of off the back of that and kind of linked to the question, you know, talking about the salt water pool and cleansing yourself and, you know, having that space and time to cleanse. Yeah, people talk about cleansing energy. I'm wondering what that actually may mean in a practical sense for you.
Great segue.
Yeah, thank you. I'm practicing.
Yeah.
You guys are great. You got this. I mean, I do think about cleansing in terms of different lights. I mean, I think I kind of go to, you know, how do I internally cleanse my mind, my heart, my different chakras if I'm going to take that approach. Mm. And it might be different visualization processes, such as imagining a white light surrounding your entire body and then starting from the toes up and working my way and thinking about every area of my body and what tensions are being held onto. I'm not going to lie, though, I don't do that one very often. I'm a chronic pain sufferer, and going into every part of my body is sometimes an incredibly unpleasant activity. Mm-hmm. So I might pivot out of my body being cleansed and go into my physical space. So if I'm thinking about cleansing my physical space, especially if it's a new environment. So look, I still do travel with crystals, and if I'm going to a new place, I will still generally have some tiger's eye in my bag, and I will put some tiger's eye on the windowsills. And that's my way of kind of trying to bring that sense of safety around me, and especially in a place of sleeping, because I want to know that when I am, you know, not present and conscious in this world, there is still a safe environment there. If there's been a disruption in a place, I think that that is a really important time to stop and consider how to cleanse it. I am bereaved, and when I did lose somebody to suicide, it was really important for the whānau as well as all of us that really cared for this person that the place of death was cleansed. And that can look different depending on cultural and spiritual practices. That there is something fundamental about being really intentional with the energy around a space. If I'm thinking about trying to clean someone else, that's probably more difficult. If I, because I, it's, and that almost comes from like a consent perspective. Where if I think about early like witchcraft days, there was one, there's one rule. It's the Wiccan read, 8 words, and harm it none. And, oh, sorry, oh my gosh, I can't even get it right. And harm it none, do what you will, which basically means don't hurt anyone, including yourself. And the threefold law was whatever you put out will come back three times, good or bad. And so it was quite important to make sure that, you know, you weren't putting out energies to other people that they didn't want. Because, like, that's what curses are about, mate. And I don't want to curse anyone. But in saying that, when I've had people go through hard times, you know, I'm not somebody who prays as such, but it is thinking about that person and sending love, sending strength. And those are those moments that often if I'm thinking about like a colleague that might have been off work for a while, I am picturing them. I'm often holding a particular crystal and I'm thinking, well, what is the energy of this and how do I support them? Where, for example, blue lace agate is a really good stone for grief. So if somebody's going through grief, I might be holding some of the blue lace agate thinking, you know, I hope you have healing around you. I hope you feel supported. I hope the pain eases for moments because I know I can't take it away and it's going to remain there. But for moments that you get a bit of a breath so that you can cleanse yourself in those moments.
It sounds like it's, you know, sometimes when we feel very helpless, it's, these are the ways that we can feel like we have some control and have some, you know, with intense feelings, a way to channel them and try and make sense and understand. And understand more about how we can help or, again, creating a space that we want to be safe, as you were saying before.
It's a really good point, Omri. It's kind of the practice of meaning making.
That's very good.
I'm leaving feeling inspired. And as I said, I've got a lot to think about. I think the big highlight for me is, intentionally connecting with my space. What energy do I want to be surrounded by? And what energy do I want to be feeling within myself? And how do I make that possible? I also liked, you know, the ability to imagine and, you know, think about and sit with people if that's not physically possible. I think it's just reminding me that there is a lot of power within myself and within everybody, and we can use that in a way that works and feels good for us, as long as you're not cursing people.
Yes, queen.
Yes. Cool. We've got a couple more questions that we would love to ask, but, you know, once again, no surprises, jumping to our sponsor from Anytime Fitness.
Anytime Fitness Dunedin is here to raise the self-esteem of the world. Whether you're new to fitness or getting back into a routine, now's the time to put yourself first. With a supportive community, three local clubs, flexible membership options and access anytime, we're here to help you reach your goals. Get in touch with our friendly team today. Call 03 455 0013 or visit anytimefitness.co.nz.
And if you visit anytimefitness.co.nz, you'll be able to find all the awesome deals and things that Anytime Fitness has to offer.
My gosh, the episode of plugs, honestly, the amount of people that I've gotten shout outs. But literally, shout out Anytime Fitness. Thanks to them, we get another set of podcast episodes, yeah, which is great for us and is great for you guys listening, if you enjoy it, of course.
Which I'm sure you do, because
it's us.
It's us. And if you didn't enjoy it and you're still listening,
thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we start to wrap up, Amy, I'm curious about how you make sense of practices that might not be, you know, you talked a bit before about the science of belief. You know, some of these practices might not have quote unquote scientific backing, but still feel deeply real and have a lot of help and benefit. And yeah, I'm wondering how you make sense of that.
Oh, don't pop off for an entire hour. I think, you know, it is those, the worlds of multiple truths where, you know, I mean, I hold a master's in psychology. I've done research. I understand the scientific method. The reality is the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
And placebo literally translates to mean to please.
Yeah.
So in many ways, I reframe the belief science as the reality that I'm drawing on different parts of research and I'm drawing my own conclusions and I'm putting belief into them. And I guess in a way, I'm pleasing myself, which sounds like a really weird way to put it, to be honest with you, now that I say it out loud.
You're making yourself happy and strong.
Yeah, well, I guess it's about congruence. And, you know, mm-hmm. if I feel that my spiritual practice is congruent with my value system and my moral structure, then that alignment is going to make me feel a lot more attuned to what I'm doing. But in saying that, there's many things that I'm like, absolutely not, that doesn't work, that's a bunch of rah-rah-rah. But I'm willing to try things,
yeah,
because at the end of the day, I put on that piece of jasper and I felt better. Did the stone do it? I don't know, but I felt better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so important when we talk about well-being and we talk about, you know, what's helpful for people, if there is evidence behind it or not, as long as we're not hurting ourselves or hurting others,
yeah,
why are we yucking people's yum? Like, let's uplift what they like. And let's uplift what's helpful. We don't need to always be cutting things down if it's not hurting anybody.
And evidence changes. Just saying, you know, there's been many, many facts. I mean, I remember my very first psych lecture and it was, hey, in 5 years, everything I teach you is probably going to be different. Yeah. I literally came back 5 years later to the same lecturer and it was all different. I'm like, you did not lie to me.
Yeah.
So don't hold on to anything too closely, people.
Mm-hmm.
Pluto used to be a planet.
Oh, Pluto, it's still a planet. My belief.
Yeah, multiple truths. Yeah, some people may not agree and that is totally okay. Cool. Well, thank you, Amy, for coming onto the podcast. Again, I was just recognizing that I was saying again and Meg keeps making fun of me for saying online.
I feel like if we counted my own ums too, you'd feel better. So we can together. We can together.
Oh. Let's go to hot yoga. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Thank you, Amy, for coming on. I've had a really fun time. I'm leaving feeling motivated and I'm going to think into the rest of my evening about a lot of the things that we've been talking about. Omri is sitting beside us having a cry laugh. It's really hard to laugh when you're on air.
Yeah.
Because you can't.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. Before we wrap up, Amy, do you have any final thoughts or messages that you would like to share with someone who may be listening and struggling?
Reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Reach in.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a pad and a pen.
Yeah.
Start writing what's in your brain. Read it back.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from yourself?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Very good advice.
Very good. Well, the way we end our podcast is by asking a final five questions. These are short answer questions.
Short.
I mean, I think we've said this to some people and they've been short, long answer questions. So answer whatever feels right for you, Amy. Come on. First question is, what does well-being mean to you?
automatically my brain was like, being well. do better, brain, do better. It means feeling a sense of integrity with myself and that my reputation with myself is upheld.
Mm. Wow.
Is there anything you do that brings you a sense of calm, balance, or peace?
Pet a soft cat.
Well, I mean, now I'm primed, yeah. Like, picking up pounce is great. Mm. I think I was saying on the walk over, you know, I try and control my cat allergy by having a cat-free room and, like, my pajamas being cat-free, but then I see Pounce in the morning, I'm like, oh, okay, I'll pick you up. I don't care anymore. You're so cute. I'm like, okay, we're fine. Not cat-free pajamas anymore.
Mm-hmm. Cool. If you could make one rule that everyone had to follow, what would it be?
That's so much power.
Mm.
Yep.
Be aware.
Okay.
Be honest.
Okay.
Be responsible.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the big
three. If the whole world followed those three,
the world would be a better place.
Yes. Exactly. This is like the Miss Congeniality kind of like world peace. No, okay.
Yep.
Great movie.
Yeah. Well, if we were to combine yours.
That. Yeah.
Ooh, if we were to combine your answers with Cleo's, everyone has to walk on the left side of a footpath.
Yeah.
and like a lot of guests, just be kind. We're creating an ideal world here, yeah. Really, aren't we?
I think that's the world I want to live in.
And we can.
And we can.
I feel like you need a whole episode collecting all of those rules.
Yeah.
And then I'd like to hear more about that, Will.
That would be so good if we did do an episode of what is everybody's rule.
Well, who's counting it out?
And what world would that look like if we applied everybody's rules together?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Mm. A great Christmas wrap-up. The Christmas special.
The Christmas pod.
Yeah. Cool. Omri, do you want to?
Yeah. What would you tell your younger self right now?
Pop music isn't that bad.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hoo-wee.
I mean, I feel like that's just like a rite of passage for a lot of young people. Like, I thought One Direction was terrible and then One Direction like saved my life. So, you know, I respect it.
The body can drag me down.
My body can drag me down. Now my life is perfect because of One Direction.
Live while we're young, team.
Let's see how many One Direction song titles that Omri's dropped throughout the episode.
My count's 12.
12? Okay. Well done if you've caught on to that. Do you have a question that you'd like to leave for the next guest?
I mean, I know I had like the whole hour to ponder this in the background of my head and I thought I was going to do more than that, but...
Well, you've been busy answering all the other questions.
Yeah.
You know... I just feel like I want to leave something really heavy and all these like prolific thoughts, but I'm not. I'm just going to ask, what would you call your cat?
Mm.
Ooh, well, Omri's the only person without, I mean, you've got family cats.
Yeah.
Look, it doesn't have to be a real cat.
Shout out Omri's mum's cats.
I hate those cats.
Oh my gosh, no.
And mum, I know you're listening. my very first cat was Joe Cat. I got Joe Cat when I was
Joe Cat when I was
six, seven, and then I had Flame. I had Flame for a good 10-ish years. Oh, closer to 15 actually.
Go Flame.
Pop off Flame. Shout out Flame. But now yeah, me and my partner are kind of going. They're the cat person, so they have all control over the cat, and I have control over what dog we get and what we name the dog.
Okay. The question's about a cat.
It is about a cat. So I think I'd have to pass it to my partner. But
no.
They want a real, like, scraggly, one-tooth, one-eye kind of cat, you know, found in a shelter somewhere.
What would you call that cat if you had all the power?
Scraggles.
Scraggles. Scraggles. Oh, I love it.
What about you?
It. Oh, my gosh. I don't even know. You see, I don't know if I would name a cat, and that's because I got my cats from Cat Rescue, and they already came with names. I mean, when we got Maggie, we were going to change her name. We hadn't come up with a name, but then it just feels wrong.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, changing cats' names later on.
Shout out to Sarah.
Yep.
But no, see, the chances are I'm probably going to adopt a cat that's probably going to come with a name, and I'm probably going to keep the name. But I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I think you just need to look out in the bush.
Yeah.
Find a bush cat.
Yeah. That's going to be my new hobby, is sitting in bushes with in the appropriate places. Okay, this is getting too much.
If you were to have a third cat, Amy, what would you name them?
Fluffbutt. Bring Fluffbutt back. And hey, look, it doesn't have to be a real cat. It could be a cat in a video game or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, true. Can you get pet cats in GTA?
No, but you can in Hogwarts Legacy, but you can't keep them. You can just randomly pat them around the place.
No,
it's playing Baldur's Game with my partner. And whenever we get past a cat, it's like, we've got to stop and pet it. I'm like, yeah, sure. Makes the game a lot longer, but so does my looting of everything. So it evens out.
There's benefits of stopping and patting cats.
Yeah.
Partnership's compromise. Mm. I pat, you loot.
Yeah,
for sure. Oh, very good. Well, that's the end of another podcast episode for another fortnight, which is crazy because time has flown by. Mm. And now me and Omri get to go home.
Woo-hoo.
Sorry, Amy.
That's okay.
almost. You're almost there. A final thank you, Amy, for joining us on this podcast. It's been very fun, and I hope it hasn't been too spooky for anybody listening.
You're both cute. Love you both.
Thank you, Omri, for hosting once again.
Thank you, Anna.
No worries at all. Thank you, Life Matters and Anytime Fitness, for sponsoring the podcast. If you've got any ideas for the podcast or wish to be a guest, please reach out to admin@lifematters.org.nz.
Ka kite.
Bye for now.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Thanks for listening to our Hope Centre podcast. The most important message we can leave you with today is that it's okay to ask for help and support. You can contact us at Life Matters on 027 240 0114 by phone or text, or send us a message on our Facebook page. You can also contact us through our website. Just look up lifematters.org.nz. You can also drop in to see us at 63 Hanover Street. We're open every day except Mondays. From Wednesday to Sunday, we're open until 9 p.m. If you need support out of those hours, free call or text 1737. If you'd like to listen again or hear other episodes in this podcast, go to oar.org.nz or wherever you get your podcasts. See you soon.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.